Welcome to Entrepreneur's Playbook. This is David Meltzer here at, like none other, the Masters. And I'm here with one of the amazing all-pro San Diego Chargers and 11-year vet in the NFL. Most impressively, Casey Hayward, you are a two-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee.
Yeah.
Which to me means the most. I've represented the Clemente family with Jackie Robinson Foundation. And I'm always looking for awards that deem character.
Yeah.
That care more than just between the lines what we do. And it's great to see what you're still doing as an entrepreneur. What was it growing up that told you, number one, that you could be the best at what you do, meaning football, but obviously your education path, Vanderbilt, all the things you did, you had something bigger in mind for yourself than football?
Probably my parents instilled it early. Obviously, I've been playing sports and playing football since I was 5 years old. So the football part, you know, pretty much came easy. But being taught through my mom and my dad, you know, the values of people and, you know, having respect for people, that was kind of, you know, where I went with it, with my foundations and things like that. You know, and that's how you kind of get nominated for some of those awards and things like that. And for me, I didn't do it for the awards. I did it because that's what I wanted to do. Some things, you know, I wanted to give back to my hometown, back to where I played at, and things like that.
And you gave one of the largest donations to your college, which is rare. A lot of student athletes, they don't feel that, especially pre-NIL, right, that they owe a college anything for the amount of money they made them. But yet you thought it was really important to give back. Was there a specific reason that you gave back to your school? And if so, what was the purpose of the money that you gave to the school?
Oh, for sure. It was a Vanderbilt close to my heart. I always say when I was there, Vanderbilt, you know, I'm there for 4 years, but it's a 40-year plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's going to always be something dear to my heart. And, you know, the connections and the friends I made there was something special. So, you know, when I told myself if I ever make a certain amount of money and it makes sense that I would want to give back. And I had a good relationship with our former AD. And I got a good relationship with our new AD, Miss Candace Lee. And I talked to her all the time. And we came up with a plan, you know, to give back. And the number was the number.
Number's a big number. And I was impressed because a lot of players don't do that for good reason.
Yeah,
and I'll be curious, even now with NIL, how many players feel now that they're being paid, that they should give back to their college or university. But just giving back in general is important. Now, entrepreneurship, I coach a lot of former athletes and current athletes about business.
Mm-hmm.
And it always amazes me how you've been playing football since you were five.
Five, yeah.
Was there any year of your life that you didn't have a coach?
No.
And would you have been as good as you are without having a coach?
No.
And yet, how many of your friends have played 11, 12, even 20 years in the NFL and decide to get into business, and for some reason, they think all of a sudden that they don't need a coach?
That is very true. Most. I'm
going to
go most.
And did you ever have a hesitation of, you know, when you got, because you were looking at different franchises, different businesses, you're a Starbucks franchise owner, which I'll get into, but how important was it that you sought the same advice, mentorship, and teaching that you got for football now with a new pursuit, which is entrepreneurship, making money, doing business?
I thought it was important. I kind of learned from some former players, you know, some players that were doing some real estate things like that. So I got coached through other people's process and learning from some of their mistakes. Also, you know, you're going to make some mistakes as you go, but
trust me, listen. I know. I've made plenty. I'm known for making mistakes. That's why people come for my advice, because I lost over $100 million. Like, oh, that's an expensive lesson. I'd rather not pay that.
Exactly. So you learn from people's mistakes, learn from your mistakes. But, you know, I have some good friends around that doing some amazing things, that are still doing some amazing things that I still kick back on and do some things with till today. But I felt like those were the lessons that you can learn from other people that can help you. So the lessons that I've learned, I try to also give back to people as well.
Yeah, that's a big part of, I always say I'm pulling up seats next to me all day long.
Yeah.
But I want those people to pull up seats next to them.
Exactly.
And continue this empowering situation where we don't have to repeat the same mistakes of our predecessors. Now, I played football in college. You probably wouldn't believe that, but we played the same position. You just played it much better than I did. And I used to tell people I was an average Division III college football player, but my coach, who I'm very close to, has informed me as I got older, and he knew it wouldn't hurt my feelings, that I was a below average college football player.
Sometimes we overachieve.
Yeah, I did. And to get there, it was overachievement. But I learned more about life and business from playing football and pushing myself, even though my basement's much lower than most college football players.
Oh, for sure. It's all strategic in a sense.
Yeah, and one of the lessons was about losing and making mistakes that everybody sees. Yeah. See, the thing about playing quads and punt returner too, and the thing about it is you're not a lineman where unless you're called for a holding penalty, nobody really knows you missed a block.
Exactly.
Even with TV.
No, that's a fact.
When you're a cornerback,
everybody see it.
And sometimes it's not your fault, right? It's a blown coverage of the safety, and it looks like you got toasted.
No, for sure.
But that, to me, is the epitome of success in business, that when you're in business, your mistakes are amplified and public.
Yes.
Because you got employees, you get, right? And there is an extra amount of pressure that a lot of people can't take. How much of that did you learn on the football field about failing, making mistakes, and having a short memory to get back to business the next play?
That's pretty good because, like you say, we play that position where we're going to make mistakes, but we got to get it out of our head fast because the next thing is coming. So the same way in the business world is like, okay, I'm going to make mistakes. Maybe I did a real estate deal. Maybe I bought too much of this for this house, but I'm going to do the next house, and I know I don't need that
right for
the next one. So it's a quick thing that you have to get out of your mind because the next deal and the next thing is coming.
The next play is coming.
Exactly.
The whistle is blown. Time to move on and move forward. Now, you chose to invest in Starbucks as a franchise. What was it about that franchise that was most appealing to you?
I know a lot of people drank coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
Majority of the people I knew drank coffee. I'm not a heavy coffee drinker, but I'll go there. Like, if I'm sick, I'll go and get some teas and things like that. But I always wanted to get into some franchises, and I felt like that was a perfect one at the time, and it was a perfect opportunity for the time that it when it came for me. And they're doing okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, they're doing okay. We kind of got them around right before the pandemic happened,
Then
the pandemic happened, so they're picking back up.
Very nice. What are you most focused in on today? So you've had so many different options and opportunities. A lot of people aren't good at vetting and qualifying when you have so many people coming to you with so many deals.
Yeah, for sure.
What most excites you today?
Today, what most excites me, real estate.
Yeah.
Real estate, like my number one that I really enjoy.
What aspects of real estate? Commercial, residential, flipping?
Flipping. We buy.
All over the country?
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia.
Mostly Georgia. Yeah. But I do have some things in Nashville. I went to school in Nashville.
Right.
So obviously I have three places there where we're renting out, that I'm renting out. But mostly in Atlanta, I got some places back where I'm from in Perry, Georgia, that I rent out.
Mostly short-term or long-term rentals?
Mostly long-term.
Yeah.
I like the long-term.
Yeah.
Yeah. People been in the houses for like five plus years. So I like those tenants.
And were there any books or anything that you learned, you know, have you read like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich? Any of those books?
I'm a YouTuber. I'm a big YouTuber, so I'm on YouTube all day.
Who should I follow on YouTube if I'm interested in real estate? Who do you like?
You know, my algorithm is so crazy that brings up so much. Like right now, the only things on mine is terrorists. So I'm watching nothing but terrorist things. So
you gotta be careful what you tell your TikTok, man.
Man, exactly.
Trust me, I can. That's why I don't do it. I just keep going by and saying David Meltzer, David Meltzer, David Meltzer.
Right.
Whenever I grab people's phone, I'm like, David Meltzer, David Meltzer.
So it can keep popping up.
And then it's like, dude, you're everywhere. All I get is David Meltzer videos. So don't leave your phone around here because all I'm going to do is program it. You're going to be weird.
David Meltzer, real estate. I'm not going to be mad. But like I say, I love the real estate part because obviously you can lose in the real estate for sure. But the margins, I feel like, is the best for me that
for
I've
me
been,
too.
That I've seen. So I like the real estate. You can lose, but I can still sell.
There's an asset.
It's an asset.
So here's the number one. I lost over $100 million, mostly in real estate, and I've learned my lessons over the last 18 years. I still think real estate's the easiest and best way to make money.
For sure.
Especially in the long run. But I have a rule that I've learned in real estate, which is if you buy a property that you never will have to sell, you will always make money.
I don't plan on selling any of the houses I bought.
I don't plan on selling any of them. The government was built on protecting the landowner. Every law, every tax benefit
Correct.
Is off to the landowner. Asset-based lending, the rate of return on investment for a real estate property comparatively to the tax benefit. So you actually benefit from taxes being higher. Because you can borrow against an asset and hedge your investments, multiple options, liquidities, et cetera. So
you could tell me this, and I would like to ask you this, but my thought is on with my money. That's how I kind of think about it. The last few years, I put a lot of my money into real estate, right? Because my margins, my returns been probably like 12 to 15.
Right.
Which is great.
And you're building capital.
Right, which is 12 to 15, exactly. If I had it in the market, you know, you might 5 to something. So in my head, I'm like, I'm getting more bang for my buck putting it into real estate. That's what been my whole mindset into real estate.
It's a great mindset. And there's so many different options in how to make money and use money, leverage money.
Exactly.
And take advantage of tax benefits as well as you get older and older. When you have estate planning and things that go
yes.
on. So that's an incredible thing. Any other parallels that you have seen? I always say that most athletes, especially like you that have played in the league more than 10 years, you experience two deaths emotionally.
Yeah.
When you stop playing, I remember when I stopped playing at 22, that it was a death. Right? I played since I was 5 till 22,
yeah.
and it was my passion. Right? Every day, I was like one of those kids that carried a football wherever I went.
Yeah.
And I always have seen athletes in their career, when it ends, it's like a death. And no matter how good you were or weren't good, it's emotionally probably one of the most difficult things to lose is football. And how did you deal with that first death at a young age, knowing that football was over?
Man, you know, it wasn't that hard for me because I planned it probably like after year 5. I sat down with my financial advisor. And I was like, man, these are things I want to do. I still want to make pretty decent money once I'm done playing. What can I do to set this up? And like, probably going into like year 5, year 6, I started doing those things. And by
no Lambos.
I have a Ferrari.
I had one.
But let me tell you this. I bought my Ferrari
used.
No. It was used. It was used.
Good. Okay.
But it was
you
used.
Saving yourself.
It was used. So I always told myself, once I saved a certain amount of money, I would get certain things.
That's the way I was.
So I said, once I save this, I'll get this. Once I save this, I'll get that. And once I save that, I was like, oh, I can get the Ferrari. So I wasn't like
right.
It wasn't, reckless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just got to tell you a quick story, and then when I was the last question. So I made a lot of money when I graduated law school. I went to a school very similar to Vanderbilt. I went to mm-hmm. Tulane.
Yeah, very similar.
And anyway, I was such an idiot. Unlike you, I just bought a Ferrari, and there's no cell phones back then. That's how old I am. I would carry a picture of my Ferrari in my wallet, and I'd show it to people.
And, oh, because you say with no camera phones.
Exactly. And I'd be like, look at my car. Like, thinking that some girl is going
to
look at that and be like,
she need to see
oh,
it
I
got to
go. Exactly.
No, she needed to see it in person. Man.
Any girl that went out for me because that car, I should not have been going out with. Let me just tell you this. And so I learned my lesson. Ferraris were difficult for me. And so I went to a Chevy Volt later on in life.
Yeah.
And I saved my money. Anyway. best piece of advice. So my 15-year-old's here. He plays running back and quarterback better than I was.
Okay.
Takes after his mom, so he has some talent. And if you're looking at a 15-year-old who wants to play college football, mm-hmm. not necessarily pro, but yeah. wants to play college football, but also wants to balance it for his future, what type of advice would you give a kid like that?
From a football standpoint, I would say run track. That was a big thing of mine. My position coach when I was in high school, like, man, you run track, you're going to be better next year.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't want to run track because it's a hard sport to do.
Yeah.
So my freshman year, I didn't run track. And then he was like, run track. So my sophomore year, I did. And then my junior year, I was like, boom. And I was like, yeah, track was a big reason. So I ran track all the way until I got to college. And my career took off because of track. I got faster, stronger, different things like that.
Well, if you want to get better at anything, I know what you need to do. You need to practice it.
For sure.
When we're intentional about what we do, whether it's in sports, business, or in life, what we pay attention to and what we give intention to equal the coincidences, the coinciding of what we desire. But you got to do your best, learn lessons, and have fun. It's people like Casey Hayward, one of my superchargers, that he does his best, learn lessons, and have the fun on and off the field. This is the type of people that we want to follow. Follow Casey Hayward. He will help you get to where you want to be or better. This is Dave Meltzer at the Masters with the incredible Casey Hayward on Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.